Welcome to Pivot Matters. I'm your host, Jeff Lynn. Thanks for tuning in today. On the show, we talk about the ever-changing landscape of healthcare payments and the impacts to healthcare payers, providers, and consumers. You can follow the conversation on Twitter at hashtag Pivot Matters and follow me at Jeff B. Lynn. I have a great guest today. My guest for today's episode is Dr. Jay Labine. He's the Chief Medical Officer at NaviHealth, a company that partners with health plans and providers to deliver a better healthcare experience for seniors, particularly in the post-acute care space. Jay, it's great to have you as a guest today. Maybe for our listeners, maybe tell us a little bit about your background and experience.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. And my background is I trained as a surgeon in Michigan, and I did kidney transplantation, general, and trauma surgery. In fact, Jeff, I did my trauma fellowship in kind of in the area around California where you are, in San Diego, California, and then spent about 15 years just doing my clinical work as a surgeon. I'll tell you this, though, it's there where I really got interested in senior care, especially complex seniors. The dialysis population is high need, complex, and those that are on end-stage renal disease are really, really complex patients. So then in about 10 years ago, I transitioned to become chief medical officer of a health plan here in Michigan, where I was really focused on the triple aim and value-based care, population health, but always had that focus on seniors. And 2 years ago, Jeff, I joined NaviHealth, which, as you explained, you know, we help seniors navigate from hospital through post-acute care and their recovery, and then back into home. And frankly, it's really a challenge, but we want to make this experience better for seniors so that they can have more days at home.
Yeah, that's an important aspect here, right? Which is, and clearly with your current role, and mm-hmm. and with the pandemic that's occurring right now, we're hearing a lot of impacts to these post-acute care facilities. And I'd love to understand sort of your perspective about what does that mean? How does that impact? And what are you doing to support those seniors in that are in these long-term care facilities or nursing homes?
Yeah, Jeff. I mean, I got to tell you, the COVID-19 pandemic, when it first started, man, I heard the words historic, unprecedented all the time. And in fact, it's true. I mean, this is a unprecedented time, not just for the nursing homes, but for all of healthcare. It was really like the worst effects of this, you know, pandemic have hit our frail elderly. And as you know, over 40% of all the deaths are in the nursing home population and with frail elderly. It's especially in those that have had complex comorbid conditions, and people of color have been hit, you know, in a disproportionate way as well. So Blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans. So our entire healthcare system was really tested in kind of unimaginable ways, you know? But nursing homes in particular, this was a setup, Jeff, where frail elderly with comorbid conditions in close proximity with staff that have really, you know, had a very heavy load. So this right. has really hit nursing homes very hard.
As you noted to that, that's a recipe for what we call it quasi-disaster, right? Or it's a scenario which is really impactful to those long-term care facilities, especially if, you know, it's hard to social distance when you have this segment that's really susceptible to disease. And so how do these facilities cope? Like, how do you actually mitigate the risks and the impact to those, you know, to those individuals that are in those facilities?
Yeah. So, you know, part of this is to understand what was the challenge pre-COVID, Jeff. You know, like, so we knew that there was challenges in senior care pre-COVID. And some of these challenges are well known, like we knew the baby boomers, right, were aging into Medicare, 10,000 per day, right, aging into Medicare. And we also know that frail elderly that are in nursing homes, they were having more chronic disease, and the nursing homes had to deal with a larger aging population. So, for example, you know, the Kaiser Family Foundation predicts that by 2050, we'll have quadrupled the number of 100-year-olds and 90-year-olds in the U.S. So this was already like pre-COVID coming into nursing homes. So what are some of the things that the nursing homes were challenged with pre-COVID? It was the investment into the care model. How could their care model get improved when the business model wasn't completely aligned to optimizing the care model? This was a major pre-COVID really challenge for nursing homes.
So when you say care model, so I'd love to kind of double click on this, which is it where care is being administered? Maybe it's not in the facilities of those nursing homes or those long-term care facilities. Where is that plan to shift, or is there a plan to shift where that care is being delivered?
Yeah, I think one of the challenges for the nursing homes and residential care is really going to be how they can innovate, you know, for the future, but also how we as a society are really going to invest into this care model. So there are clear flaws that were exposed, Jeff, with the COVID crisis. Number one was that, you know, there was a lack of PPE, personal protective equipment for nursing homes. And this really led to infection spreading in some clusters in nursing homes. There was inadequate testing available initially. There was, in fact, overburdened staff. And I'll tell you this, that during the COVID crisis, there's been heroic efforts by doctors and nurses and nursing home staff, but the system just wasn't in place. And so that's one part of the care model, Jeff. And I think investing in the care model is one part. The second thing, though, I think is we know that we need more transparency on the choices that seniors make when they're leaving the hospital and going into a nursing home. So this transparency should be evident on both the outcomes that occur in the nursing homes, but also what is the cost to do that? The more transparency we can get on costs and care, the more the nursing home industry, right, will continuously improve to better their, you know, the choice that that the consumers make, right, that the seniors make, and they'll want to be chosen preferentially over others. So those are a couple of things that really, I think, need to happen to help with the care model of the nursing homes.
You know, it's interesting you say this, which is, you know, investing in the care model and also the transparency and choices. I think in both aspects, there's a potential for costs, right? So, right, because you alluded to burden staff, a lot of testing and other things here. So cost is a big factor in this. And is there blatantly adding staff or adding resources across the board and just making it more expensive? Are there, interested in your point of view, what digital or any other scalability technology solutions that could help in those to deliver better transparency and choices or improvements in the care model? But what do you see from that? You know,
It's a really great question, because I think some of it has to be broadly, like for seniors who need a lot, if the high need seniors who need care and need to recover and then get back to the community and independent living, right? So there are ways that we can do that without residential care. And this is where I think innovation and engaging in innovation can really help the senior care model. So here's a couple examples. This one is like one of my favorites, Jeff, is we know that home-based medical care or home-based primary care is a great care model for complex, chronically ill, frail seniors. And there are a number of models out there that are actually delivering the same level of care as you would get in a nursing home in a person's home. This is one example where, think about it, if I'm 93 years old and I have diabetes, heart failure, and I'm frail, I have decreased mobility, it's even hard for me to get to my doctor's office. Well, there are a number of models that have been shown to be very valuable for these types of patients. And you deliver the care to their home, and it actually decreases the number of times they're hospitalized, and then therefore decreases the amount of time that they would spend in a nursing home.
You know, it's interesting to say this, which is, if you look at the broader consumer economy, we call it the, you know, the on-demand, I can pick up my phone and order any food that comes to my house, right? Or, mm-hmm. or have an Uber come. And you're kind of at, like, the analogy here is that on-demand care, meaning as these consumers are at home and mm-hmm. home-based primary care being a better care model for them, you know, that's great to see here. In terms of innovation here, that's a great, you know, transformational component of it. What aspects do you see of technology or data or analytics playing into this? You know, we see telehealth transforming the other segments of healthcare. Where do you see technology playing in this segment?
Yeah, I think it plays a really important role. I mean, I'll just say this. Pre-COVID, there was a lot of concern about, you know, the adoption of virtual visits or the adoption of technology. And it especially came up, Jeff, with seniors. Like, how many seniors will adopt this? You know, will they feel comfortable with a virtual visit? And I got to tell you, in 10 weeks of COVID, we've seen telehealth adoption skyrocket. It basically pushed telehealth 10 years into the future in about 10 weeks. In fact, for the week ended April 18th, there were 1.3 million Medicare virtual visits versus a month before that, pre-COVID, in the same week, there was 11,000.
I mean, wow.
I'll just tell you this too. Providers were also not engaged in telehealth virtual visits. And Jeff, I'm sure you'll understand this, but part of it was there wasn't a payment model that adequately, you know, incentivized the providers to really get on board with the telehealth technology. I think telehealth for senior care will be a really important advancement.
Yeah, those are just amazing stats here. In the banking world, I'll create the analogy here, which is after 9/11, check processing stopped. Because checks can go to all the Federal Reserve branches. And out of 9/11, it created a need to electronify check processing. It may sound basic now. We think checks are just being done automatically, but that was born on 9/11 here. In a weird way, where is COVID?
Yeah.
This change that you're seeing, right? It's transformational. And now I think, you know, I've heard this a lot from the industry here, but do you think if there is a vaccine, and hopefully there is a vaccine that gets delivered, where do you see this going? Do you see this us to stay the current course and in terms of technology innovation and the use of virtual visits, or do you see that scaling back?
You know, I actually think that there's really no turning back with some of the digitalization that has been adopted. In fact, there's a MedPAC meeting just this week around looking at how the payment model moving forward is going to support telehealth for Medicare. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of discussion about the expanding access and paying for telehealth virtual visits versus the potential like steep costs associated with that or excessive use of telehealth. And then where do you set the payment rate so that you get really good adoption? So this is being discussed as we speak, Jeff. I do think that there's no turning back. And seniors in particular are finding it very comfortable to use virtual visits. The one thing, if I may, just kind of as a cautionary note, you know, from a physician's point of view, I think we still have to really test out what types of visits are best telehealth and when to escalate that to an in-person so that we're providing the highest quality of care and you know, really safe care for people, that we're not missing anything. I think that still is a open question that we need to have our medical community really invest time in.
Yeah, that makes sense here. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Payment Matters. I'm joined by Dr. Jay Labine, Chief Medical Officer at NaviHealth. And we're really discussing the impact of COVID-19 on really post-acute care and long-term care facilities. So Jay, as we go back to this, you're highlighting that, you know, this we're at the new, we call it the new normal as we kind of look at this. What one of the things that we've heard, and I don't know if these are just anecdotes here, I want to highlight one thing you said, which is seniors are adopting technology. Mm-hmm. Do you have any insights in terms of how well seniors are adopting technology or adopting these kind of new ways to consume care?
Well, I think one of the concerns that's being raised is it being adopted equitably, meaning we've always felt like access to, you know, physicians and access to the healthcare services through telehealth is really important to, like, say, rural areas where access is limited, right? But we also know that if you're poor or have no access to high-speed broadband internet or a smartphone with a cellular data, that it's going to be challenging for you as a senior. And then there's going to be some seniors who are isolated that may not be as able to use this type of technology. So there's still a lot to be worked out, you know, with this, the telehealth care model, I'll say, because these are concerns around just, is it going to be equitable access? The fact that I think there's broader acceptance that we're not turning back from the digital connectivity, I think that's a really positive development, Jeff.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I never really thought about that, which is you have to have broadband. And number two, you have to have some digital tools, mobile phone, desktop, whatever the case is, to access this new type of care here. You know, we've alluded to this before here, but we haven't really talked about this, but what can you tell us about NaviHealth? And what exactly do they do to really support these post-acute care facilities?
Yeah, so like I said, NaviHealth, we provide both a clinical service and a proprietary data collection tool that helps to set the right expectation for a senior who's transitioning from the hospital to the home. So on the service side, Jeff, this is really like a care coordinator, a therapist, a nurse, or a, you know, occupational therapist who will help understand completely that person's needs. So that means not just their medical needs, but most importantly, their functional and social needs. That's where our tool, it's a care planning tool called NaviHealth Predict, where we use a question tree and we ask questions that are hard to get from the medical record. It's data that you won't really find in claims and you won't find in a typical EHR. And so this is stuff like basic mobility. How far can you walk without assistance? Can you get up a flight of stairs, right? Generally, this is information that isn't captured very well. We capture it in our database. In addition, you know, can you button your shirt or can you, you know, get to the bathroom on your own? So all of this creates a score on functional status. We use that functional status score and compare people who have a best practice recovery to this individualized person. It's really about understanding the whole person and collecting data on that person so that we can set the right expectation for their recovery.
Got it. It's really the personalization of care to make sure that they're mobile, they can get up. And clearly, you're capturing all this data, you know, I assume across the United States here. Are you seeing any macro trends, even pre-COVID, during COVID? What's the data telling you? on
this? Yeah, so the first thing that this data really helps us with is we can set an expectation and we can look at a nursing home and see what areas are important for them to focus on to improve in this functional recovery. Like, did they hit the benchmark or not? So that's really important when it comes to helping manage seniors through, you know, that recovery. And then also, you know, how long did it take for them to get back to home? Because we know, like, a lot of seniors are very uncomfortable when they're out of their home setting and can lead to deterioration like delirium or even exacerbation of, you know, cognitive issues. So this is like one really important part. The macro trends on this is that we're seeing that hospitals and the seniors, so we see a 20% drop in the admissions to skilled nursing facilities from the hospital during the COVID period. And as you can imagine, Jeff, there was a lot in the news about just, you know, infections and issues in nursing homes.
Yeah. One of the things I want to tie this back here, which is like this data is probably just so insightful, highly valuable to not only the facility, but also to the actual patient that's there. As these individuals are looking at solutions like this, what's is there an impact or value to the bottom line? So I hate to talk, you know, sometimes yeah. I don't, you know, sometimes care is very important here, but from a payment perspective or driving out, you know, inefficiencies that are out in the market, is there some financial ROI or value being delivered by, you know, by having this data?
Yeah, so this is where the triple aim really comes into play, Jeff. And so our mission and goal, and I think the mission and goal of hospitals and nursing homes is we want to improve that experience. So that's where the care coordinators and understanding the whole person to improve that experience really makes a difference. But we also want to drive out, like you're saying, the inefficiencies and make sure we're hitting the same or better outcomes, but doing it with driving out the waste that can occur in the recovery period. So we use this to set the right expectation for a patient and a family, a nursing home, and the payer who's paying for these services, right? We share that information back, and what we're able to see is that we can deliver the same outcome and actually do it for a more efficient length of stay in the nursing home, which families and patients really appreciate knowing what to expect. So they can say, you will go home in 2 weeks instead of 3 weeks.
Got it. You know, and it's great to, you know, sometimes people forget about, you know, healthcare is caring about the patient, but that's always helpful if you kind of also deliver on the great financial benefits there.
One other point on just the financial benefits. I mean, the cost conundrum is really everybody's responsibility. Like we said earlier about, you know, seniors that are aging into Medicare and the Medicare system, and we know is going to be financially challenged, right? To put it mildly, as, you know, all of the baby boomers age in. So this is one aspect of like optimizing care, but doing it in a way that can preserve the Medicare system so that we're not spending on low value care and we're spending on high value care.
Yeah, it's a targeted laser focused versus, you know, call it the spray and pray and hope for some good results, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I always like to ask the big question here, which is you've clearly had the experience as being a surgeon, working at a health plan, and now, you know, and had many different roles across the entire healthcare industry. Give a magic pill for healthcare. If you had one thing, you could snap your finger and it could change things. And it's a broad question here. What would that be? What would that be? What's your magic pill for healthcare? No healthcare system's perfect, but yeah. Love to understand sort of what would be ideal for you if you had it. What's your dream for healthcare?
Yeah, that's a really great question, Jeff. And I think you said it really well that there's probably not the one, you know, silver bullet for healthcare. But I do have to say that the challenges for senior care that we talked about here, Jeff, is the challenge that we should really address, meaning we know that people are living longer. You know, our seniors, like my parents, right, are 80 years old, and they're going to need healthcare services, and we want to preserve the system for them, and we want to make optimize the care model for them. So these challenges were present pre-COVID, and they're going to be with us whether we get a vaccine or not post-COVID. And I think really, Jeff, what you're doing with understanding that payment matters, how we pay for the services and how it aligns to optimizing our care model. And we've touched on a few of them here. And I would say this is probably the most critical aspect of how we can get our healthcare system to function better is let's align that business model so it drives the highest value care. Home-based primary care, like we talked about. Telehealth services that are done in a way that gives better access to care, but yet frail elderly folks don't have to like come in to an office and spend a whole day getting there. The driving, you know, the care more into settings where they're most comfortable, whether that be at the home or assisted living. I think focusing on these challenges of senior care will really help our overall health system tremendously.
Got it. And all that's great, Jay. And I think these are all really important topics as, you know, as the population ages in the US. Mm-hmm. And this is, as you noted, this is just going to become more and more important here, and making yeah. sure that these payments are going to be important, and we drive the right ROI and value to everyone. Those are the payment matters we're tackling today. And I really wanted to thank my guest today, Dr. Jay Labine, for joining me today. And for our listeners, Jay, where can they learn more about you and NavaHealth?
Yeah, you can learn more about us at NavaHealth.com. And Jeff, I just want to thank you for having us on, and we really appreciate having this conversation today.
Thank you so much, Jay. It was a great discussion. And thank you to all of you who are listening in. Remember that you can listen to this episode weekdays at 4:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 8:30 p.m. Eastern. You can also listen to Apple Podcasts and Google Play Music, or just say, Alexa, play Healthcare Now Radio. If you have a comment about the episode of this show, follow hashtag Payment Matters, or connect with me on Twitter at Jeff B. Lynn. You can learn more about my show at healthcarenowradio.com or at instamed.com. Until next time, I'm Jeff Lynn.